Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Charlene Summers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice bit of worship there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That song is proper epic. That line, my debt is paid, the work is done. Boom. Nicely done. Whoever wrote that, very nicely done. Very good. Puts a smile on my face. All right, so these last few weeks, we have been looking at or listening to various different people from our church and also around about their story. And they've been telling us about different aspects of their story, the good, the bad, the ugly, etc., etc. And this morning, obviously, from the board, you can see, I'm going to be telling my story. Well, hey. So I'm going to be skipping over quite a lot of my childhood because otherwise we'd be here until like next week. Probably. But just a few pictures. I've got some pictures of me today so you guys can see a little bit of my childhood. So this on the left-hand side is me as a baby. Very cute, if I do say so myself. And I'm with my bear called Grandad. And the logic behind that was that he was older than me as far as I was concerned because he was from a museum, so I thought he must be called Grandad then because he's older than me. You know, child logic. I also went through a phase, bit of, you know, extra info here, not that it's any way relevant. I went for a phase of calling my teddy bears vegetable names, so I had a polar bear called Onion, as you do. Oh dear, exactly. Yeah, no sprouts. Onion. It's a good word. Right. Anyways, moving on. At the age of 6, back in 1994, for those of you who are particularly quick at maths, I'm now 27. Well done. The founding pastor of LOM Church, Pastor Paul, came to a house and invited me, my mum and my brother, pictures are on the right, to church. And on that Sunday we went. And we're still here. That's it. You can spend the next 40 minutes or whatever reflecting on that. And you know, that's not really. I'm being silly. Anyways, there's a whole lot more to the story than that. Church became part of our normal very, very quickly. We went to church. Me and my brother went to the kids' stuff there. Yes, down the bottom. And it came as no surprise to my mum at about the age of 10, I think I was. I went up and I said, I want to get baptised because I believe that Jesus is real and I want to show that. I want to show that to the world. So I'm going to get baptised. And so the picture down the bottom is my baptism day. Got my little plaque there. I've still got that. It's in my memory box. And that's me on the right, and you've got Nick and Jamie Jordan on the left. And apparently our parents are going through a bit of a farmer phase because we look like farmer kids. So there we go. Yeah, probably did, to be fair. So that was after we got dunked, hence why my hair was funny. I think it was funny anyways at that age. But yeah, we'd just been dunked, and that was that. So again, I'm skipping over quite a lot of my childhood. There was a lot of stuff that happened in my childhood, which I'm not going to really cover because the main parts of my story I want to look at today are sort of my teenage years to adult years. So we're starting off at the age of 14. So the first time that all of the God stuff kind of properly clicked, I know I'd been baptised and stuff, but you know, it's a journey. We all know that. The first time stuff kind of clicked, there's me at school, was when I was 14 and we used to go to faith camp. We still go. We go to faith camp every year. And for those of you that aren't aware, faith camp is a Christian camp. It's run every year in the summer. There's a week long where you get away, you go camping, and it's run by Kingdom Faith Church. It's rather good, and there's loads of different sessions from the babies all the way up to the adults, and you get to have some real fun family time, and you get a week away to spend time with your church, with your family, and with God, and it's really good. So I was in my session for the 14-year-olds, and they were doing a week-long series about creation. It was really, really good. And they were looking at the big things of God and the small things of God. So they were looking at things like the galaxies and how God created the vast galaxies, the expanses, the planets. And also they were looking at how God was really into the details and the tiny things. And for whatever reason, it really stayed with me, was they were looking at a wasp. I'm not a big fan of wasps. Their stings hurt. But they were looking at wasps and they were talking about these different aspects of wasps and their sort of innards, as it were, and how small they were and how intricate they were and how clearly God had designed that. And that's really cool. And so the kind of main point was God was into the big stuff. He could do big, miraculous things, but God was also into the details of your life. And so he was interested in you and he had created you. And much of that week was based on Psalm 139. That particular scripture or chunk of scripture has really been kind of like a founding or grounding scripture for my life. And it talks about how God created you. He designed you in your mother's womb. He designed every little detail of you. And his thoughts towards you are greater than the number of sands or grains of sand. And I thought, well, that was really cool. That really spoke to me. And that was the first time that the God stuff kind of clicked. And I thought, hang on, this God's really interested in me as a person. And his love for me is so great. And yeah, it just clicked. Something clicked. Okay. It was the first time I realized how much God loved me and how I needed to respond to that love, how it was part of, you know, the process of being a Christian. Part of your walk is to respond to God's love. So God's like, I love you. I gave my son. He died for you. And then you respond to that love in prayer, in worship, by giving your life, surrendering your life to him. And that sort of clicked to that point around the age of 14. Flash forward 2 years, again, faith camp. A lot of stuff happened at faith camp. Funny that, when you give a week to God, what he does. I was 16 years old, and God told me, this is when I was actually hearing from God for myself, which was very cool. He said, right, I want you to go to the Bible college stand. I was like, you are having a laugh. No, thank you. That's not happening. I'm not going to Bible college. Don't you know the spiritual nut jobs that go there? Sorry, people that have already been there from this church. I was like, surely you're aware of this, God. You can't be serious. I shouldn't be going there. Anyways, I did, because, you know, obedient and all that. I went to the Bible college stand with my mom, and I ended up having an interview with Pastor Jonathan Dyke, very cool guy who's been here quite a few times. And I don't really remember much of the interview other than random snippets, as is always the way. I remember he asking me how I felt about peeling 300 carrots. I was like, yeah, it's all right. I feel okay about that, I think. Just to note, side note, didn't actually ever have to peel that many carrots. I think probably the most would have been, what, 40? I'm looking at Matt. He used to do the catering. No? More than that? More than that? All right, fair dues. Maybe I did. I don't recall that particular thing happening, but maybe I did. Anyways, at the age of 16, I was too young to attend Bible college. You have to be 18 because you're moving away from home and living in a communal sort of setting, boys and girls in a big house, as it were. And so I had to wait until I was 18. So they signed me up for 2 years' time, which would have been 2006. And I'm not sure if I had some sort of inner conviction that I must do everything bad before I went, but I did. Those next couple of years, I spent a lot of my 16th and 17th years living a very, very good, or what I thought was a very good and convincing double life. So I was still attending the church stuff and still doing stuff with church, but outside of church, I was getting very, very drunk a lot of the time. I was going to a lot of parties. I was dating the wrong guys, doing a lot of stuff that obviously was not right and not what God would have wanted for my life. And I had I was thinking back to it now. I'm like, you're an idiot. Not just because I was doing that stuff, but I genuinely thought church people and my family didn't know that's what was going on. Like, coming to church with a hangover, clearly church people didn't notice that. Goodness me. So I thought I was getting away with it somehow, but clearly I was not. Anyways, I got to my 17th year, or just before my 18th year, actually, and it was in April 2006. That's the one. Get my dates mixed up now. April 2006. And for whatever reason, I don't remember exactly how it happened, but it certainly wasn't a neon lights in the sky kind of experience. An angel did not appear to me. But I had this sudden realization that it was not good enough and I was not living my life worthy of the call of God on my life to be living a double life, to be trying to do the whole, you know, I'm a Christian but I'm cool outside of church thing. And then at church, like, Jesus, I'm hearing from God. He's telling me I'm an idiot, but I'm not listening. You know, that kind of thing. And I got to this point. And it was kind of, I suppose you might call it a defining moment. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I need to make a choice now. My choices were pretty clear. It was either you get your act together and you start living the life that I've called you to live. God speaking to me. You get on with it. You go to Bible college, do what I've told you to do. Or you carry on doing whatever you like, but you can't do this double life thing. It's not working. So, thankfully, I made the correct Mundo choice. and I went to Bible college. Just as another bit of a note there, I was like, I think I gave my youth leaders quite a hard time in those years. I was delightful. Me and my friend at church, not going to name names just in case I get them in trouble, we used to have a challenge every week. Who could get kicked into or back into the service quickest? So we go into our youth meeting and the concept or the idea or challenge was, who can get back in to the church service? Which I don't know why that was some kind of fun challenge, because it was actually not that interesting when you're like that old. No offence. It's good. To me, it wasn't, because I wasn't living very good. And also, I was a bit of a ringleader there. I kind of got a bit of a kick out of leading everyone down the wrong way. And I once, like, threw a chair in the vicinity of a youth leader because they asked me to move the chair and I didn't want to. So I was a really delightful person back then, really lovely, living this double life. And anyways, I had that defining moment and I chose to go for God. And moving swiftly onto October 2006... here we go. My first year at Kingdom Faith Bible College down in Horsham. This was definitely the best year of my life to that point. I'm not kind of excusing the stuff that's happened since then. It's been really, really good. It was a great year. I learned so much about God. I learned about his love for me. And it was just awesome. He showed me time and time again the greatness, the vastness, the bigness of his love for me and that I was a child of God. And he did a massive healing work in my life, healing some sort of emotional scars from when I was younger. Again, you know, we've not covered that, but if you want to know, come and have a chat with me later on. And he showed me who I was and he gave me an identity. Yeah, gave me an identity as a child of God, which is exactly what I needed. And obviously I was rocking some pretty cool fringe back then. Also, this was the year that I met my future husband. Woo! Funny story. I didn't like him at first. He was sarcastic, mean, pretty standoffish. Yeah. That's true. I know you now. Pretty standoffish. And one of my best friends happened to fancy him. And I was like, you're an idiot. What is wrong with you? This guy's just mean. Why don't you like the other guys in our class? Come on. They're nice. Anyways, at that point, I played bass. Not very well. I was pretty terrible. And so when I did my audition for joining the band, the leader, the worship coordinator there was like, I'm going to suggest you get some lessons with Matt. Probably because he was offended by the sound of my bass playing because it was that bad. My audition was awful. I remember it. It was horrid. Very, very embarrassing. And he suggested I ask this guy, Matt, for bass lessons. Now, I'd only sort of seen Matt, well, knew of Matt twice. The first one was the faith camp before I went to Bible college. I saw him up on stage and he was playing bass. And I was like, why are you up there? Where's the other girl that used to play bass? Because there was a girl that used to play bass and I thought that was really cool because I was a girl that played bass and she was really good. And I thought, you know, goals, bass goals. And he was there and I was like, what are you doing here? Weird man. Anyways, and the second experience was at Bible college where I thought he was really sarcastic. So I was quite scared to go and speak to this guy who seemed a bit mean and a bit standoffish and be like, can you give me bass lessons, please? And he said no, which is helpful. So that sucked. Presumably at some point the worship coordinator had a word with Matt and said, you say yes next time and give us some lessons. And the next time when it was suggested again, I asked him for bass lessons, he said yes. And there starts a beautiful story. I think by the Christmas, so about 10 weeks or so later, 9 weeks later, after we'd had like a 4-hour bass lesson where we didn't really play bass, we just talked, we kind of thought we might like each other a little bit, might kind of fancy this guy. Moving on from that. At the end of your first year at Bible college, you go on placement, or at the end of every year at Bible college, actually, you go on placement. And I went on placement, this in the corner picture, doing a bit of a fire on the beach. I went to placement in Louth, which is in Lincolnshire. And I went to a really great church there, connected with Kingdom Faith. And I got to serve there for a month, and they had a school that they ran. So I got to work in the school with the Kiddlywinks, which was really good fun. And I lived with a family there. I'm not going to say any names just because I didn't think it was right to be saying names. And they were a great, great family. They were so loving, and they'd been through some really tough times just a few months before, real tragedy, and they welcomed me in regardless of that with open arms. They made me feel really, really welcome in their home. And I had another kind of one of those experiences where you meet someone that just like makes you, I don't know, step back in a good way. And their oldest daughter was just the most amazing woman I'd ever met. She was one of these people who you just wanted to be drawn toward. You were like naturally just drawn toward them. You wanted to know more about her. I wanted to get in there with her, see what she was all about. And from what I saw from living with her was that her passion for God was just unrivaled. It was amazing. It was ridiculous. She was so passionate about God, so passionate about knowing God, about worshiping God, giving a life to God, and yet she was entirely normal. I know that sounds a bit strange, but when you go to Bible college, there are a few random peoples. I might have been one of them for all I know, but at that point, I was just like, this is a young person. She was a few years older than me, and she was so excited about God, so passionate about God, and yet she was normal. She wore loads of makeup. She did her hair every day. She had a bit of a reputation for being late to stuff because she had to do her hair and her makeup. But she always spent time with God first in the morning. And there was just something about her. It was like she was dripping with God. Her words, her actions, her work, everything that she did was toward God. And that was a real game changer for me. There was something about that girl, that woman, that was like, I want to be like that. That's so cool. How exciting is that? And I learned a lot from her about going deeper with God, about having a real relationship with God, not having like a surface level relationship, but actually getting deep in there. And bear in mind, I spent a year at Bible college, so I had a lot of theory going on, and I learned a lot about God and his love. But just seeing her, meeting her, was like a real game changer for me. And yeah, that was just a few short weeks and really made a massive impact. And I really do attribute a lot of the way I moved on and kind of learned more of God to that girl. Which is pretty cool. So just, you know, you don't know who you're impacting. She just had a guest in her home. She was getting on with her life, getting on with what she did, doing life how she did life. She had a massive impact on my life, which is very cool. Now, my second year at Bible college. Boom. There I am. A few more pictures of me. It was actually the worst year of my life. I got really, really poorly. And I spent a very large chunk of my time in my room. These photos are like the photos of days when I was feeling all right. Obviously, I'm smiling. I'm pretty happy. And yeah, it was really, really difficult. At Bible college, it's a really, really social environment. You're with a bunch of your mates, getting to know more of God. You're living together 24/7, doing everything together. And if you get put out of that kind of environment and you're stuck in your room, in a dark room, because I couldn't even have the lights on because I was so poorly, not able to read, not able to watch TV, not that there was TV, but, you know, not able to listen to music and such. It was really difficult. It was a very hard time. And yet God really used it, which I think is awesome. And in the depths of like a really, really dark place, I found God there. And God did a massive work in my life that year. I thought with how bad it was and how depressed I was feeling and how awful those months were, I was just like, how can God use that? How can he do anything in this situation? I'm in a dark place right now. And God did. He started showing me that his love didn't falter. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what was happening, his love would not change. It didn't falter. It was constant. And I discovered the beauty of building a relationship with God through challenging and scary times. And that's not easy, because sometimes your sort of default position is to run away, to step back, to kind of draw out. I know mine certainly is anyways. And I learned how to grow my spiritual roots deeper and stronger with a relationship with God in the midst of the badness of that particular year. Thankfully, God did a big old healing work in my life. Kind of see that sort of summary picture in the left-hand side. I was getting a lot better by that point, feeling a lot more normal again, and hence I'm smiling. And yeah, he did a big old healing work. It wasn't a suddenly of God. It wasn't like, okay, you're healed, boom, done. It was a workout thing. I had to work it. I had to keep declaring that I was healed in Jesus' name, and he did do that. He was faithful, which is cool. All right then. So I left Bible College in 2008. I think there's another slide. Nope. Oh, that's me being stupid. Ignore that. My notes are different to Angus's. That's why I'm getting mixed up. Sorry about that, guys. I just realised, I was like, why is there not another slide? It's because there's not that many slides. Right. I left Bible College in 2008 after I completed my second year. And the cool thing was, which I thought was epic, was that I was actually able to graduate, even though I'd missed a good many months of my lectures. Pastor Colin said to me, we had like a meeting together. He said that even though I'd missed a lot of my second year, I'd been kind of cooped up in a room, he said that you'd learnt a lot. He said, I can see that you've learnt a lot and possibly more than some of your classmates have, having gone to lectures, which was like a bit of a compliment. I was really excited about that. So I was able to graduate and that was really, really great. And I was really happy about that and thankful for that. Then I came back to Boston, best village ever. Sorry for you guys that don't live here. It's awesome. And I began a gap year working with this church. Very exciting. And that was funded by the Rank Foundation. That was a fun year. I learned how little I know. I genuinely came to the church thinking I was God's gift to the church. I was going to revolutionise the youth work. And I was going to be a shining star example. Blah, blah, blah. You know how it is. Well, probably don't. Anyways, the problem is with Bible College. Well, the problem with Bible College, that sounds awful. It's an epic time where you draw away and you get to spend a real great chunk of time with God. However, because of the drawing away, you kind of draw out of like reality and you get in a bit of a bubble. And I'd got myself into the big old bubble and I did not let it burst. And so I was kind of in a bit of a world on my own, thinking I was God's gift to the universe. And I was really, really judgmental of people that weren't getting it. And oh, it was just, bleh. I am embarrassed by those few months before I kind of burst that bubble. It's embarrassing to think back on it and how judgy I was. And I had to learn that, yes, I knew the theory, but I had to apply that theory to real life situations, to real people with real feelings, going through real challenges and real problems. I couldn't just be like, well, it says this and that, and I'm going to ignore the fact that you're having a struggle right now because I know the answer. Not a good plan. God doesn't honour that. Thankfully, my bubble was burst a few months later, and God started teaching me how to love the people. And that was it was challenging, but really good. And it's been another game changer. And to end a rather challenging few months, 7 years ago today, my husband proposed to me, or my now husband proposed to me. Very awesome moment. I was just like squealing as I said yes. And I was like, oh, my ring is so pretty. And I'm getting married. That too, you know what we like, girls. Anyways, skipping forward to 2009 was the day I got married, 26th of September, 2009. Those are a couple of my favouritest pictures because we just look in love. So, you know, that's a good one. I like sharing my photos because it kind of like you can see my journey and the good bits and the not so good bits. That's cool. 2 days later, I got really poorly. And this is like another time of being ill and having a challenge. And I think the first 2 years of our marriage were probably the most challenging to date. And it wasn't because we were like clashing majorly as husband and wife. It was nothing to do with that. It was because we were going through something that was incredibly challenging and difficult to work through as a couple. I was really ill. I got really depressed. I'd lost a crazy amount of weight. I mean, I looked kind of like sticky, gross anorexicness there. And I felt like I was angry. I was upset. I was angry at God because I felt like he was robbing us of our marriage. You know, it's ridiculous what we do, but we do this. We go through something challenging. It's like, it's God's fault. And God's like, I'm going to use this, but I didn't do this. And I felt like my husband was being robbed of the woman he loved and all this stuff. And I got very, very, very bitter. And as a couple, we got down. It was not nice, was it? It was very difficult. We got really depressed. We got really bitter. We got really angry. We withdrew from church. Worst idea ever. We were hurting bad. And instead of running towards God, we very much so firmly ran away from God. We withdrew from our areas of responsibility, to an extent, withdrew from our friends, our church friends, not a good plan. Withdrew from family, just withdrew from everything really, kind of had a bit of a cocoon going on. And it was a real tough one. It was not a nice few years, a couple of years. We even, for a little while, looked at moving away. We kind of felt like if we moved away, then we'd get away from what was happening to us. We felt, I don't know how, obviously, like a bit of enemy getting in there, telling us that somehow this area was the source of our problems. And we genuinely thought, you know, if we move away from this area, then our problems are going to go away, which is ridiculous. But at the time, we genuinely thought that was what was going to happen. We kind of associated Barlston and the surrounding areas with pain, anger, upset, depression, bitterness, which it is not. It's a lovely place. I love it now. But at that point, it was very difficult. And we had a look at moving away. We looked at other places around. I mean, like faraway places, not like the next village or anything, like a drive away, a train journey away. And not good. And I even withdrew from some of the youth work, my youth work responsibilities. I took about a year out of the youth stuff. I think I've talked about it before, but I left that. I felt deflated, felt like a failure because, you know, I couldn't handle being poorly and also dealing with youth stuff. And I really struggled to keep myself above like the water that I felt was drowning me until about 2011. And I made a choice. Again, it wasn't like a neon lights thing. God didn't appear to me. I didn't have this like crazy experience. I just knew, and I got to this point. Obviously, God was leading me there. But I got to that point and I had to make a choice again. It was a kind of defining moment choice. It's like, you can either get on with this. You can either pull yourself out of this situation, with God's help, of course, or you can drown in it. You can leave. You know, I had that choice. We could have left. We could have gone elsewhere. We could have pretended that our problems were with this area and where they weren't going to follow us to the next area. But we chose to stay, which was difficult because it's harder to deal with your own issues and things than run away from them, as I'm sure you guys have experienced before. And just as a little side note, God knows what you're facing right now. He knows the difficulties. He knows the challenges. And I think probably the biggest thing I learned through those couple of years was to be honest with God. And I know that sounds a bit weird because obviously God knows everything about you and he knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows everything. He knows what's going on. But being honest with God is probably one of the best things I ever did. When I made that choice to come back to God, I started being honest with him. He already knew how I was feeling. He knew how deflated I felt. He knew I felt like a failure. He knew I was, you know, borderline depressed and angry and bitter. But when I started saying to him, like, God, this is how I feel, but you are my king. You know, if you read through your Psalms, David's constantly like, this is going wrong. That is going wrong. I'm feeling like this. But God is bigger. God is stronger. God is my fortress. And I love that. And that's probably one of the things I learned most that year. Best lesson coming out of that time was being honest with God was the best thing. And, you know, you can move on a whole lot quicker with his plans for your life when you're able to be honest with him. You know, you're not fooling God when you pretend to be okay and you're not. Which is tricky because you think you are. You know, way back when I was 16, 17, I was like, God doesn't know. Living this double life. God doesn't know. It's fine. I'm okay. No, he knows. Best policy, honesty. We say that with relationships. It's the same with our relationship with God. Thankfully, as seems to be the case with God, once you choose to get yourself back on track with him, suddenly stuff starts to come in line again. And these were my in-between years from sort of then till now-ish. Just a few happy photos of me and Matt enjoying life, much, much happier. Not saying we didn't have challenges in those years. Everyone has challenges. There's constantly stuff. Matt had a beard. That was a challenge. Looking fluffy. You know, the stuff you deal with. No, you do not need any more beard. You're quite all right with that much beard. More than enough. Right. Yes. You're making me laugh. Stop it. Anyways, once I made that choice to get on track even with God, it didn't take long for stuff to get back into place. I got back into youth work. I was working alongside Pastor Shane, great leader, great person to work alongside. And not too long later, I don't know the dates exactly, I can't think of them, he passed it down to me when he felt like I was no longer going to run away from church, presumably, and I was back on track and searching what God said. And one of probably the most important parts of my spiritual kind of healing and getting back in there with God was surrounding myself with the right people. That's one of the, another sort of, I say another key, a key that I was thinking about when I was working through my story, was that I surrounded myself with godly people intentionally. You have to be intentional about that. You can't just expect something to happen out of nothing. You have to deliberately be like, okay, let's text you. Let's ring you. Can we meet up? Can we get a coffee? I don't like coffee. Can we get a tea? and that kind of thing. Can we hang out? I need to have a chat. I need to work through some stuff. Here's what's actually going on. Honesty again. This is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. Can we work on that? Yes, we can. So getting the right people around you, people you can be accountable to, oh, best decision ever. People that are going to encourage you to run your race and run it well. Best kind of people to have around you. That's the key to anyone who's wanting to keep themselves in God's plan for your life. You know, over those few years where I look a lot happier in general, I made sure I had people that were going to encourage me, people that are going to challenge me when I was being a bum, people that are going to keep me going when I felt like I couldn't go, people who are going to lift me up when I felt like I was drowning or whatever. And that's really cool, because they're people that are going to point you forward and point you toward God when you need pointing toward God. Cool stuff. And the rest, as they say, is history. This is the past year or so. My life is food, my husband, and a cat now. this year has been a really difficult year, actually. It's been very challenging, very heartbreaking. But there's also been really big highs as well. We've had some epic times also. However, I didn't feel I needed to speak too much about this last year, because this last year I kind of got it a bit more and I've stayed here. I've not run away. I've kind of stayed with it. I've kept going. I've made sure I've connected with the people that I needed to connect with when I felt like I was going down, when I felt like I couldn't handle it anymore. I made sure I kept those people there. I made sure I stayed in there with God. And yeah. So hopefully, having heard the ridiculousness of my story and how silly I have been in the past, it will encourage you guys to just keep in there with God. You know, he doesn't fail you. He doesn't let you down. His love is constant. And so in the midst of all the tragedy and all the hurt and all the pain that our life just seems to bring to us randomly at different points, God is there. He will lift you up, and he promises to lift you up. And you just got to keep in there with him. And just to encourage you guys to keep on, because you're doing a good job. And that is my story. So hopefully that was all right for you guys. I'm going to pass on to Faye now, who's going to lead us in the next bit. Thank you, Faye.